Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cyient Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Krishna Bodanapu, Executive Vice Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Cyient Limited's earnings call for the first quarter of financial year 2024. I'm Krishna Bodanapu, Executive Vice Chairman and Managing Director. Present with me on this call are Mr. Kartik Natarajan, CEO and the Executive Director, and Mr. Prabhakar Atla, the Chief Financial Officer. Before I begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussions may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. A detailed statement in this regard is available in our investor update, which is available on our website and has also been emailed to you. This call will be accompanied with an earnings presentation. The details of the same have already been shared with you. As you know, Cyient DLM Limited listed on 10th July 2023. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for the overwhelming response to our IPO. Over the past several years, we have demonstrated Cyient DLM's credibility and capability in a wide range of design-led manufacturing solutions, and we are now, with your support, well-positioned to leverage the tailwinds in this space. I'd also like to take a moment to thank the Cyient team that made the IPO possible and for doing this in a very short and compressed timeframe. I also wanted to share an important update on the U.S. Department of Justice case. The case against the Cyient executive on grounds of alleged violation of the Sherman Act has been dismissed in April 2023. Cyient has always conducted business with strict adherence to our values-first framework. The acquittal of our executive further proves the highest standards of ethics our business adheres to. We remain confident that this will have no materially adverse impact on the company's operations, finances, or liquidity. At Cyient, sustainability is also important to the way we operate and underpins our overall vision. It is also one of the five megatrends that we are focusing on. Cyient has demonstrated its dedication to sustainability by participating in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, a renowned benchmark for sustainability business practices that generate short-term, long-term value. We scored a great score of 66, surpassing the industry average in all categories, and we are confident that we will increase on this number going forward. With this, I would like to hand over this call to Prabhakar Atla, who will take you through the financial performance for the quarter. Thank you, and over to you, Prabhakar.
Hello, everyone. Firstly, let me thank you for joining the call today. We greatly appreciate your time, we greatly appreciate your interest, and very importantly, your active participation in today's call. Before I proceed to present the results, please allow me to provide a quick overview of how Cyient's business is currently classified into various segments today. In this page, you will find a nomenclature and current classification of Cyient's business segments. As you can see, we now have three business segments under Cyient Group: Cyient DET, which is a short form for Digital Engineering and Technology segment at Cyient, Cyient DLM, and others. On Cyient DET, the rationale for this nomenclature is that most, if not all, of what was traditionally engineering and engineering services has already significantly transformed in the recent past with adoption of digital transformation. This is now further rapidly evolving into adoption of advanced technologies such as generative AI. Therefore, as we stand here at a point of inflection, we see ourselves as a strong and growing player in this rapidly evolving space, and therefore also the evolution of nomenclature at Cyient as Cyient DET. Cyient DET, as we will represent this segment from today, includes the erstwhile services business of Cyient. That includes core services plus acquisitions, as we were calling it before, plus a small portion of engineering parts business, which was earlier classified under DLM. I repeat, Cyient DET business, as we will represent this segment from today, includes the erstwhile services business of Cyient, plus a small portion of engineering parts business, which was earlier classified under DLM. Apart from evolution of segment nomenclature from services to DET, for reasons explained earlier, the additional item here is the reclassification of engineering parts business, and this reclassification is based on business and client adjacency and was done prior to DLM divestiture. This reclassification does not have a major impact on Cyient's DET's business. Just as a measure of quantum, the engineering parts business, which is now merged into DET, has a revenue of about $0.9 million per quarter. I repeat, $0.9 million per quarter, which is about 0.5% of Cyient DET revenue. We have not reclassified the previous periods for this segment, given that the impact is minor, and then some comparison may not be like-to-like, and we will attempt to provide a clarification in such instances in this call. The second segment is Cyient DLM. This is the DLM part of our business which was divested after the reclass of engineering parts business as above. And the third segment is others, which now includes Cyient Aerospace Tooling business, which was earlier classified under DLM and has been reclassified prior to the divestiture. The classification of business units within Cyient DET remains the same as earlier in services, which are basically transportation, connectivity, sustainability, and NGA. Today's presentation and discussion is on Cyient DET only. All the numbers and the data are for DET only, unless mentioned otherwise as group. We have received quite some valuable feedback from most of you on the content of this presentation, with a request to simplify and focus on highlights. So going forward, we will adopt a dashboard model for this presentation on financial performance, with relevant details already shared in annexure. In the dashboard model, you will see that we are representing our performance across six key metrics, which basically are revenue in US dollar terms, revenue in INR terms, EBIT in percentage terms, PAT in INR terms, EPS in INR terms, and FCF in INR terms. And for each of these metrics, you will also see that we have depicted the movement on QOQ and YOY basis. Before I walk you through the commentary, let me just summarize that we strongly believe that our Q1 FY24 witnessed a well-balanced performance, which was in line with our expectations. In terms of Q1 FY24 revenue, the Q1 FY24 revenue for DET stood at $177.1 million at a growth of 0.3% quarter-on-quarter in constant currency and 30.6% year-on-year in constant currency. This, of course, includes the engineering parts business. We have not restated the previous period numbers since the impact was not significant. But a like-to-like movement for what was services revenue earlier would be a movement of minus 17 bps quarter-on-quarter constant currency on sequential quarter basis. In INR terms, the Q1 FY24 DET revenue stood at rupees 1,455 crores with a growth of 0.4% quarter-on-quarter and 37.2% year-on-year. I repeat, a growth of 0.4% quarter-on-quarter and 37.2% year-on-year. We have two key growth drivers behind this performance. The first is that our core segments, aerospace, automotive, and sustainability, continue to witness a very strong growth QOQ and YOY. And also, our key clients, top 5 and top 30, continue to witness strong QOQ and YOY growth. Mr. Karthik Natarajan will address this in more detail in the business outlook presentation. In terms of normalized EBIT margin, the Q1 normalized EBIT margin for DET business stood at 16.1%, which is the highest we've had in the last 9 years, and also grew by 93 bps quarter-on-quarter and 327 bps year-on-year. I repeat, the services EBIT margin, which was called services earlier, DET, is at 16.1%, which is the highest in the last 9 years, which expanded by 93 bps quarter-on-quarter and 327 bps year-on-year. In rupee terms, the Q1 FY24 DET normalized EBIT is highest ever, at rupees 234 crores with a growth of 72.1% year-on-year. This margin expansion is driven by continued improvements in SG&A costs resulting from optimization initiatives that we've undertaken in the previous quarter. In terms of normalized PAT, the Q1 FY24 normalized PAT stands at rupees 170 crores, translating into a normalized PAT growth of 6% quarter-on-quarter and 56.3% year-on-year. I repeat, the normalized PAT growth for this business is at 56.3% year-on-year. And this then translates into a normalized DPS of INR 15.5 for Cyient DET. In terms of free cash flow, the Q1 FY24 FCF stood at rupees 176 crores, a growth of 150.5% year-on-year, which then translates into a conversion of 108.9% on reported PAT. As I close this chart, I'd also like to draw your attention to the balanced progression that one can see among several metrics. With revenue growth of over 30% year-on-year in constant currency terms and EBIT expansion of 327 BPS YOY, the PAT grew by 56% YOY, while retaining focus on HCF, which also handsomely grew by 150% YOY. And hence, our opening comment on we seeing it as a balanced performance in the beginning of my presentation. In terms of group numbers, the group numbers you see here are a combination of all three segments we spoke before, and I just call out a few comments. At $205.3 million, group revenue for Q1 FY24 grew by 28.6% year-on-year in constant currency, and the sequential growth was impacted by cyclicality in DLM business, which would recover in the subsequent quarters. The Q1 FY24 normalized EBIT margin is at 14.7%, highest ever we've had in the last 9 years, up by 322 bps year-on-year, and the Q1 FY24 PAT stands at INR 177 crores, up by 52% year-on-year, while the FCF has also improved by 60% year-on-year. And therefore, also at the group level, we believe that this is a well-rounded performance in line with our expectations, and this also gives us with a very sound start into the financial year. With this, I'll now hand it over to Mr. Karthik Natarajan for an update on the business performance and outlook.
Thank you, Prabhakar, and good day, everyone. And trying to deep dive on some of the vertical performances that I will cover in the next few minutes. And we had an all-round operational good quarter for us in terms of Q1 fiscal 24. And if you look at the four segments that Prabhakar detailed out as part of the digital engineering and technology business, and starting with transportation, this has grown by constant currency 3.2% and in year-on-year 19%. And connectivity business, which is affected by the wireless telecom operator business, which has shrunk slightly compared to Q4. So that has taken about minus 2.4% degrowth in Q1. And sustainability business, enabled by growth in energy, mining, and the utility business, has had a solid quarter of 4.5% growth quarter on quarter. And this business has grown, including CTEC, at 112.3% year on year. And new growth areas, which are at 30.5 million in Q1 fiscal 24, has had a degrowth of minus 6.5%. And this is attributed to the high-tech and semicon degrowth that we have seen, while we continue to see momentum in our automotive business, which has really grown very well as compared to the last quarter. In terms of order intake, and this is more of seasonality that you see on QOQ, YOY is the right measurement to compare with. And we had 193.2 million of order intake, which has grown by 32.5% year-on-year in terms of constant currency. Our offshore mix continued to stay at 44.4%. As you may remember, the earlier core business of Cyient, which has moved to 54% over the last 8 to 10 quarters. We have an opportunity to improve on this with all the acquired entities put together, which is back to 44.4%. We won 6 large deals in the last quarter, which is amounting to about $49 million. And interestingly enough, some of these deals include the software-defined vehicle for trucks and autonomous perception systems for construction equipment and grid analytics and also floating production, storage offloading for LNG and for one of the oil and gas customers. So very interesting quarter in terms of our performance on large deals and what we have seen on the operational improvement. To move on and to share more of outlook for rest of the year, we continue to see the investments around the green transportation, energy transition, defense and security, digital health and automotive, as well as on the decarbonization areas. And we have seen a significant momentum on the aerospace growth, and which will probably continue to be there throughout this year. And both on new aircraft demand as well as on the MRO side of the business, I think both are looking strong for rest of the year. We also started seeing momentum around advanced air mobility solutions, and this is one of the diversification from our core aerospace business into urban air mobility. And this probably gives us an acceleration over the next 3 to 5 years as the business evolves. In terms of connectivity business, I think wireline business, which is definitely on a stronger footing, with some of the funding coming from the U.S. government on RDOF, which is called as the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, and BEAT, which is the Broadband Equity Access Deployment Programs, where there are likely to be about $60 billion plus spent for the next 3 to 5 years, and this continue to be the drivers of growth, apart from the public and private wireless that we have spoken about in the past. In terms of sustainability, the energy minerals are at an all-time high in terms of demand, whether it is lithium, nickel, zinc, cobalt, copper. And also the decarbonization-related investments are continuing to increase from our customers. And we've also seen hydrogen and ammonia-based green energy and carbon capture utilization. And these are the investment areas we are seeing momentum, and we'll talk about more in the subsequent slides. And new growth areas, and this is the growth is led by automotive, again by software-defined vehicle and electrification. And we have seen some softness in the semiconductor business. We hope that gets better during later part of this year. And semiconductor business are seeing momentum from high-performance computing, artificial intelligence, and auto segments. And healthcare and life science business has been flat as compared to the last quarter. We expect that to start getting into the growth trajectory in the second half of this financial year. With that said, our investments around technology solutions and digital areas continue to really yield better results for us. And to share some of the success stories, we won a very large program on semi-autonomous drive collision and obstacle avoidance system for a construction equipment major from Europe. And this is one of the prestigious programs from Cyient based on the capabilities that we built over the last 3 years. And we are actively working with the customers to convert most of their products to be enabled for autonomous systems. And we also have won some of the projects from customers on ADAS feature development and integration with the EV truck. And software-defined vehicle on core embedded and vehicle application software for one of the European truck manufacturers. And these are some of the terrific wins that we had in the last quarter. And we expect the growth in automotive and off-road highway will continue to expand based on some of the recent wins. Network analytics and automation led by cloud-enabled and AI-driven analytics and zero-touch provisioning and have really given us some of the results and new wins that we had, and also the pipeline that we are seeing in this area is very strong. Enhanced grid analytics to integrate AMI data with some of the ESRI tools that we created a system integration programs. I think they are continuing to pay well for us, and we continue to build momentum on the utility business that we are in. Generative AI, this has been one of the interesting areas of topic over the last 6 to 9 months, and we started seeing a lot of interest from our customers in terms of implementing conversational AI systems and distributing the contextual content to various stakeholders in a human-like natural language. And whether this is about product support, customer experience, and trying to help them through the complete aftermarket lifecycle. And CyVision, which is one of the video intelligence platform that we have built, and how do you think this can help to identify the objects such as vehicles and persons from live videos using deep learning modules. And we are continuing to make progress on AI-powered software testing and industrial data fabric with AWS as one of the key partnerships that we built, and also continue to make progress on operational grid analytics. So with that, I would just move on to the next topic, which is about guidance that we have shared in the past. And for DET business, which is S12 services plus a very small parts business, we are keeping our guidance at 15 to 20% year on year in constant currency terms. And in terms of EBIT margins, and we have guided earlier at 100 to 200 basis point improvement. And based on the operational efficiency that we have seen in the first quarter, we are revising it upwards to 150 to 250 basis point year on year. With that, we'll stop here and probably throw it open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Mukul Garg from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Karthik, firstly on the growth outlook, given that the first quarter was fairly muted, where are you getting the confidence for kind of delivering that 15-20% type of growth in services? Especially if you can speak about the connectivity part of the business, because that's an area where we are kind of seeing weakness across regions, from companies in the space. Is that something which will, kind of remain a drag and you will kind of deliver despite weakness in that space?
Sure. Thanks, Mukul. To answer your first question, I think we understand the ask rate could be anywhere between 2.5% to 3.5% QOQ for the next three quarters. I think that's definitely within the reach of what we are looking at. That's the reason why we kept our revenue guidance intact. And to answer your second question, I think connectivity has two parts, right? One is the wireline, the second is the wireless part. The wireless is only about 20% of our business. And what we have seen, the softness is from one of the customers. And we hope we can probably see a pipeline that we already have getting converted in the later part of Q2, which will probably give us a reprieve in the H2 of this financial year. On the wireline part and some projects which got shifted to the right, and the investments still continue to be robust, and especially the government funding, which has been talked about a year ago, have been assigned to all the states. And the states are in the process of running RFPs and be able to distribute the work during some time in Q2 and Q3, and which will expect us to see the growth coming back in the second half of this financial year.
Right. But, just to follow up on that, is there a risk in case that space remains under pressure to our full year guidance, or do we think we have built in some buffer? And then I have a follow-up for Prabhakar.
Yeah, I think whatever we see at this point of time, we are keeping that 15-20% range. Because that's the reason why we are keeping a wide range. So I will just hold at that level.
Sure. Thanks. Prabhakar, was there any reclassification during this quarter? The gross margin were down very sharply on the services side, and gross margins were up very sharply, and similarly, your G&A was also kind of down almost 300 basis points.
Mukul, thank you for the good question. No, there was no reclassification during the quarter. Firstly, like we spoke, the significant improvement we have seen in the EBIT in the quarter is basically because we've been driving SG&A improvements for the last several quarters. We've been doing this exercise for most of last year, but we also had costs that we had incurred in the last year as we drove those initiatives. And now we start seeing the full benefit of what we've done last year in the current year. Therefore, you see the improvement in SG&A translating into EBIT. That's the first part. In terms of gross profit movement quarter or gross margin movement quarter on quarter, this is basically coming out of two things. One is the merit increase that we had to counter in Q1, and also a little bit of unfavorable revenue mix we had in Q1, versus how the global scenario has evolved. But these were two different things. There was no reclassification in the quarter.
Understood. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you, Mukul.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Mohit Jain from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. First is on new growth areas. I got some of the commentary, but can you just split the growth rates there, because you're down sequentially in a big way? So that's one. And second, our margin outlook got revised, meaning the initial guidance was also on the higher side compared to peers, but now it got revised further up. So where are we in terms of utilization? And it appeared to me that attrition is still high. So how do we get such high synergies or, say, margin expansion opportunities during the year?
So, Mohit, I'll answer the first one. Maybe I'll defer it to Prabhakar to answer the second one. On the first one, there are four subsegments as part of the new growth areas, right? One is automotive, and second is healthcare and life sciences, and third is semiconductor, and fourth is high tech. Like what I shared in my brief, and the high-tech and semicon, they had a weak Q1, and that's the reason why you're seeing the drop in terms of -6.5. And healthcare and life sciences has been flat, and automotive had seen a significant growth compared to last quarter. So some of all this is what I've described it as at -6.5.
Automotive is flat, isn't it?
Automotive has seen a significant growth as compared to
Q1. Okay, got it. And broadly, how is the split between these four? Like, should we assume more or less equal, or do you think there will be, it will be tilted towards one particular segment?
Yeah, you can assume it to be almost on the similar range of probably about the $7.5 million-$8.5 million range.
Okay, got it. And second one for Prabhakar.
So Mohit, on the margin front, but thank you for the question once again. See, if you recollect the commentary we made in the Q1 investor call, Krishna used the word pragmatic conservatism, and we've given the outlook for the full year in terms of revenue and margin guidance. I'd say the pragmatic conservatism we had in terms of the full year outlook for margin has played in our favor. As you could see, we already delivered a good quarter for the first quarter of the year, 327 basis points year on year. And we also see the potential roadmap ahead of us to extract the value of the various initiatives which we are running in SG&A. But also, as you've seen, this performance is Q1 is even when, like to the earlier question, there was a marginal degrowth in the gross margin, but we still maintain the numbers that we have maintained right now in margin front. Therefore, as we recover across those gross margin segments and as we continue to extract the margin from the SG&A initiatives, we feel fairly confident with the upgraded guidance that we've provided just now. Still being a bit pragmatic, conservative, I would say.
Yeah, like, is it?
Sorry, Mohit, maybe request you to please repeat your question. We couldn't hear you.
For the wage hikes, will it hit us in Q2, or are you going to spread it across multiple quarters?
We would spread it across multiple quarters. Part of it has already come in Q1. The rest of it will spread across various quarters.
So we may not see that one quarter hit, is what you're saying. It should gradually improve.
Yes. You will not see a one quarter hit like what we have seen in the previous years earlier. It will be spread throughout the year.
Right. And last one, I could not find utilization. Do we have a ballpark number? Where are we currently?
Yeah, I think we are about 86% in terms of our utilization and apple-to-apple comparison from last quarter. As we are in the process of getting all the companies that we acquired to be integrated, and we will probably not provide the detailed breakup like what we have done in the past. And since this process will take some time in the quarter of Q2, and we would just state as the overall margins and gross margin, which kind of indicates the level of utilization that we operate at.
All right. So 86% for the quarter, including the subsidiaries.
Including what, sorry?
Including the target, 86% consolidated utilization is broadly what we should assume for the quarter.
Yeah.
Perfect, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vibhor Singhal from Nuvama Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So just, I know you built a bit upon it, but just wanted to understand a bit more about the optimism that we have about the transportation segment. In the last calls also, we've kind of spoken about a very strong demand environment maybe coming up in the aerospace vertical. So how do you see this industry demand shaping up, let's say, in this the remaining part of this financial year? Not asking for a quarterly number, but do you think it's going to be a positive momentum as we have seen in this quarter to continue in the remaining part of the year? And specifically in the aerospace vertical, do you believe this cycle could actually last beyond FY24 as well in terms of the opportunity that we see and the opportunity that we can capitalize on?
Yeah, so thanks, Vikram, for the question. I think the momentum on the aerospace business, if I were to really classify into three sub-segments, whether it is commercial aerospace of new aircraft, new engines, new sales, and second is the MRO part, and third is the defense business. I think all three businesses are come back with the bank as far as this year is concerned, and there is definitely a very robust and strong demand. And with China joining this party about 6 months ago, and the number of aircrafts that are flying at any given point of time is probably closer to what we have seen in 2019. So the similar levels of air passenger miles is similar to what we have seen in 2019. So that's definitely driving the demand. However, the customers are continuing to face challenges on the supply chain and labor productivity. And those two are definitely plaguing the growth that they want to achieve during this year. And we hope it gets better during later part of this year. And in terms of demand outlook for the next 18 months, we are positive about how this segment will look up to us for us. On the defense side, we have seen significant growth in defense, and because of the conflict that was seen in Europe, I think that has really made every government to spend significant amount of money around the defense and security part, and that is likely to continue for a few more years as the internal security is becoming one of the key challenge for many countries, and they want to strengthen the internal security part.
Got it. So as a broad number, if I were to ask, I mean, in our guidance of 15-20% growth, would the transport vertical be higher than the company average, or do you believe it could probably be in a similar range?
I think we are, our interest is to really make all of these four segments to grow in double digit. I think that's the intent on which we are operating, and some would be on the higher end and some would be on the lower end.
Got it, got it. And on the connectivity side, if I were just to maybe pick your brains a couple of for a couple of minutes, I think we've seen this this vertical actually being the problem area for almost all the companies, be it in the IT services business or in the ER&D space. I think the telcos globally continue to bleed, and there's not much of a spend either on technology or on the research part that they're undertaking at this point of time. Do we also see the same thing driving this segment, and which should probably keep this vertical under pressure in the near to medium term as well?
I would say, as I mentioned in the previous question, Vikram, I think specific to wireless part, we have seen some softness. And with some of the pipeline that we have today, and we hope it to come back during the later part of this financial year. Broadly, what you're seeing is correct across the CSPs, the communication service providers are muted in terms of their spending around wireless and 5G. As they've already started spending money on it for the last 5 years, they want to monetize some of them, while there is a pause that is seen on the wireless side. But like what I mentioned, the wireline part, which is continuing to see momentum and supported by the government funding programs on RDOF and BEAD, and these two in U.S., are likely to create significant demand over the next 18-24 months.
Got it. And just like transportation, you expect connectivity also to be, positive, in the positive growth territory for the full year?
Yeah, which is expected to be back-ended as compared to what we have seen on the transport side.
Got it, got it. Great, sir. Thank you so much for taking my questions, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, I'd like to remind our participants to limit your question to two per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-up. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, and congrats on a good execution, especially on the margin.
Can you use the handset? It's not very clear. Oh.
Is it better?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the first question is in terms of the guidance again, as per my calculation, the ask rate is actually 2% at the lower end and 5% at the upper end. So even 2% is not conservative looking at the macro environment and your commentary about semiconductor, high tech and communication may have some gradual recovery rather than a fast recovery. So how confident we are in terms of growth pickup starting from 2Q, and do you believe 3Q, 4Q growth rates would be higher versus 2Q?
Yeah, at this point of time, Sandeep, like what I guided on each of the sub-segments, and the growth is aided by what we have seen in aerospace, automotive, and energy and utility segment. And we expect the growth in these segments and supported by healthcare and life sciences and connectivity during the second half of this year. We expect to keep our guidance in the same range of 15-20%.
Okay, okay. So whether growth rates could be slightly back-ended this year versus maybe 2Q may have slightly gradual recovery as of?
No, we are not guiding specific on Q2. And I understand the ask rate that you talked about, and we are aware of it, and we are working towards meeting our overall guidance of 15-20%.
And Prabhakar, just in terms of question on nature of SG&A optimization, why I'm asking this is actually the support staff has not gone down on a Q1Q. So what is the nature of such a big optimization which we have achieved in the 1Q and your expectation to continue going forward? And your 1Q EBIT margin is already 240 bps higher versus your FY23 EBIT margin for services business. So that means on the next three quarters, margin may be more or less flattish, which is still a very good execution, but that is the way directionally one should think about despite wage hikes.
I would say this cuts across a number of levers, Sandeep, which we've already worked, like I said, in the last year. But you're not seeing the impact of it last year because there were also costs that we incurred along with it, and you're seeing the full benefit in the, or at least the foolish benefit in the current quarter. Therefore, our confidence that whatever we have done will continue to maintain, if not further improve on that. Therefore, we'll continue to realize the same benefit through the full year. And you're right. This also calls for continued execution excellence, of which we are confident of.
Thank you. Sandeep, in the interest of time, may I request you to join the queue for any follow-ups as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shraddha from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on a good quarter. A couple of questions. Within transportation, would it be possible for you to split the growth between aero and rail transportation?
No, Shraddha, we are not breaking down beyond what we have categorized in the four areas, and we are not really breaking down further on any of the...
No, so the reason I'm asking is because we were facing some issues with one of our top accounts in rail. So are we out of that issue, or are we still facing some softness in that particular client leading to overall subdued growth in rail transportation?
No, we are not seeing any issue that we have spoken about on this customer over the last two quarters. I think that continues to be doing well, and we don't see any negative surprise as far as the customer is concerned.
Great. And another question on sustainability, given the fact that we've shown a very strong 4.5% growth, so is there any seasonality in the CTEC business wherein 1Q is higher, and or is it business as usual growth in the sustainability segment for us?
Sorry, can you repeat the question,
Shraddha? I'm asking whether the 4.5% growth that we reported in sustainability, does it have to do anything with the seasonality in the SciTech portfolio, or is it business as usual growth for us in the segment?
Yeah, I think it is business as usual. And typically what we have seen for CTEC, they tend to have a high impact on Q4. That seems to be their best quarter. So Q1 is not necessarily their best of the quarters based on what we have seen in the last 3 years of data.
Right. And just one thing on the minority interest, I think the minority interest number seems to be a bit lower than what comes from calculation of what you reported for DLM financials. So I was just checking if there's anything else in minority interest that has gone beyond DLM.
There is nothing beyond minority interest in the calculation, but our team will reach out to you to see what numbers you have. And if there is...
Sure.
I think, Shraddha, just quickly on that, if you look at what has happened, the only a very small amount would have come because that's from the pre-IPO placement. The majority would only start from July 10th. That's why you'll see the full impact only in this quarter. Last quarter, only that sort of small percentage of anchor or no pre-IPO placement that had happened would have come in.
Thank you.
And that's for the short term.
Thank you. Shraddha, may I request to join the queue for any follow-ups? The next question is from the line of Abhishek Shindadkar from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good quarter. This may be a repeat question. I'm sorry I got dropped in between. I was not clear why the gross margins dropped this quarter. So that's one question. And the second thing is, on the SG&A rationalization, Karthik, I recollect that we had been, investing in SG&A, after you came in 2020. So is it like, we have reached, or completed that program in terms of investment in SG&A? Or is it that, we view that the macro is challenging and that's why we are driving this SG&A rationalization? How should we read the SG&A rationalization? Thank you for taking my questions.
Sure. Thanks, Abhishek. And I'll answer the second part and would request Prabhakar to answer the first one. Yeah, the second one, whatever investment that we wanted to make towards growth in terms of sales and technology and digital investments, they continue to be there. And we will continue to make those investments, which are very critical for our journey for the next 3 to 5 years. So that is absolutely intact. And as you remember, we did an investor day sometime in November last year, and Krishna did talk about how we wanted to look at some of the spend that we have on G&A related to the buildings and computer hardware software. We made certain investments around COVID, and some of them are not necessarily, for example, everybody had two laptops, one in the office, one at home, and some of them are getting rationalized in terms of what we wanted to do. So that exercise has begun almost 8 months ago. They're starting to see results in terms of the output from Q1 onwards.
And Abhishek, to your question on gross margin movement, right? So the gross margin movement... Thank you, Abhishek. The gross margin movement between two quarters is because of primarily two reasons. One is the merit increase that we had in Q1, and also an unfavorable revenue mix in the current quarter that we hope that we expect to re-normalize in the rest of the year.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you for taking my question and best wishes for 24.
Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Mihir Manohar from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for giving the opportunity. Sir, I largely wanted to understand on the aero side. I mean, are customers talking of any major programs being undertaken, any major developments or any major upgrades happening? Just wanted to get an understanding around that on the aero side.
Yeah, Mihir, I think I'm sure the entire industry is waiting for upgrade of what is called as the single aisle program. I think both A320 and 737 from Boeing, I think both are almost 25-30-year-old platforms, and they both need upgrade. And interestingly, what I was hearing from some of our customers I met in the last 8 or 10 weeks, they were really looking for a decision around the sustainability initiative that is going to impact the commercial aerospace industry, whether it is using more of sustainable air turbine fuel, or whether it is about hybrid, whether it is electric or hydrogen. I think some of those bigger decisions have not been made, and that is one of the reasons why the programs are getting delayed. And we do believe it's a matter of time in the next couple of years that there will be announcement around new programs. And the super cycle, which happens once in every 10 years, is likely to kick in any time between 24 to 26. And both the platforms definitely require significant upgrade, and I'm sure it's a matter of time before both of them will come forward with upgrade programs. Like what I also mentioned, this is the first time many of the customers are seeing the robust demand coming from both commercial and defense side. And this is something they always managed, one being on the high, one on the lower end. They can really manage the demand. And now they have definitely seen significant demand on both defense as well as on the commercial side. Just to put things in context, if you really look at the F-35 program launched by Lockheed Martin, and they are coming up for MRO now, in the next 5 years, there will be at least about 500 to 600 aircrafts will come up for maintenance, repair, and overall. So that's the level of demand that is coming from different side, on top of some of the new programs that are being announced to upgrade F-35 over the next 5 to 7 years.
If I may just add, if you circle back to 2007-2008 timeframe, that was the start of a super cycle essentially in the aerospace design business, and we're seeing a lot of the signs of that now happening. And I think this time there's also a bit of a happy convergence in the sense that both defense, to Karthik's point about F-35, the tanker, mid-range transport, etc., happening. And also in the commercial side, they're teeing up for some of the new programs. So we're quite confident that the aerospace sector will go through that super cycle in the coming years.
Sure, that's really helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Dipesh Mehta from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. First, about just want to understand the new breakup which you provided. What Cyient others include? Because if I one adds Cyient DT, Cyient DLM, then there is some gap. So if you can provide some sense about it and why we are keeping it separate. Second question is about the new growth areas. Now, I think some of your peer indicated some kind of recovery is playing out. So if you can provide some sense about how you expect high-tech recovery to play out over next few quarters. And semiconductor side, I think earlier you indicated second half of recovery. So any tangible kind of things, or it is more hope than tangible kind of outcome which you are expecting? Thanks.
So I'll answer the first part of the question before handing over to Kartik. So basically, within our, if you look at it, the two sectors are clear. One is DLM, which is design-led manufacturing, and the second thing is DET, which is digital engineering and technology, which is essentially the services type of businesses that we have. Now, the others, basically, if you look at the Cyient DLM business, there is one business within that, which is a tool manufacturing business primarily centered in North America, which is about $10 million yearly run rate, slightly lower than that, but about there, which does not fit into the DLM framework, nor within the DET framework. So we've kept it as Cyient Others because we did not want to put it in either organizations because obviously we need to first figure out where the fit is and strategically what we want to do with that business. It is potentially a business that we will consider for a carve-out or a sale in the next few quarters. But we are evaluating the options for that. When we had acquired the business, there was a certain hypothesis around design of tools and manufacture of tools, which has not played out. And when we did this split, we found that it didn't really fit into either business in the split, and therefore we've held it in a different unit to figure out what the options for that business are.
Sure, Ritesh, to answer your second part of the question, and in the new growth areas, I think your question was around two parts. One is the high-tech, and we do expect high-tech to be flat and soft throughout this year, and we don't expect that to really recover back based on the customer profile that we have and the pipeline that we see. As far as semiconductor is concerned, we do see momentum from semiconductor for automotive and driven by significant demand on ADAS and electrification. And we have won one of the large deals that we announced last quarter, and that is ramping up. And we have seen softness from consumer and data center part, but we do expect that the automotive business to be robust during the rest of the year. We have seen momentum from some of the pipeline that we have seen and how they are moving through the decision-making cycle. And we are confident that that should probably bounce back during the second half of this year.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prolin Nandu from Goldfish Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Thanks a lot for taking my question. Couple of questions. Again, continuing with the previous question on new growth areas. Now, the reason we have probably put in this as a new growth area is this is something which we are venturing into. Then when we talk about some of these macro weakness, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out whether there is a scope to gain market share here. And again, I mean, as some of the larger peers have mentioned that high-tech is probably recovering and that we have seen in some of the high-tech stocks as well. And we are still guiding for a flat kind of a year. So just and on overall basis, can you just comment on, I mean, is there not a scope to gain market share? And I mean, will the macro weakness continue to hit us for the entire year across all the different four new growth areas?
Yeah, I think probably like what we mentioned, I think automotive business is on a very strong growth momentum that we have seen over the last 18, 24 months. We continue to see momentum there. And like what we talked about, two of the large deals that we announced this quarter come from automotive, and especially on software-defined vehicle for a commercial truck, as well as the autonomous perception system development for a construction equipment major. So that indicates the robustness of growth that is seen from automotive. Healthcare and life sciences, like what I mentioned, it had seen a softness in Q1. We expect that to recover in the second half of this financial year. Semiconductor, which has shown a muted growth in degrowth in Q1, expect to recover again in the second half of this year, aided by automotive and artificial intelligence, edge compute-based silicon that need to be built up, and that's driving the growth during the second half of this year. And high-tech is one of the four businesses in NGA. We expect that to be soft during the year. And when we talk about high-tech, just to remind you that this is part of the erstwhile the geospatial business, and we are also wanting to really not focus significant amount of growth in that area, while we wanted to drive more around customers from utilities and communications and mining, and how do you think we are able to cross-sell and drive growth in those segments, and starting to see that as an horizontal and more than a vertical moving forward.
Yeah, thanks a lot. That clarifies the high-tech part. Now, second is on this legal charges, right? In some sense, as we, I mean, what I understand is that one of the cases is over, one of the cases is still going on. So how do we see this legal charges panning out for the remainder of the year? Do we see them coming down significantly, or do we still need to incur the kind of legal charges that we have incurred this quarter and in the last financial year as well?
So if you look at the two elements of that case, there was a criminal element and a civil element. The more sort of risky one and the more sort of serious one was the criminal case. The criminal case is the one where, again, Scient was never charged or Scient Inc. was never accused on anything. It was one of our executives, but that's been cleared. So that takes out a humongous risk from the business, and therefore it also gives us a much stronger basis to fight the civil case. So from a risk perspective, I want to say, you know, the matter is closed, and we find ourselves in a good spot, because the matter was not just closed, but it was closed very strongly in our favor by the judge even dismissing the case. Now, coming to the civil matter, it will take another quarter or two to resolve. We will have some legal fees still for the next, we believe, for the next 2 quarters, that's for Q2 and Q3, at a level that is lower than what we've seen in the past. We are working on expediently resolving it, but I want to say we don't anticipate, one, any great risk, because all that element of the case has been completely solved. And also, we don't anticipate any very large quantums of legal fee for the foreseeable future. It will continue for another quarter or two at least.
Cool. Thanks a lot and all the best. Thanks a lot, Dean.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Kachadia from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
I have one strategic question. After this corporate event, like we listed separately the DLM vertical, what growth areas and the long-term strategy we have in place to grow this Scient Limited business? I understand that we have a presence in the high growth areas, be it aerospace, automotive, defense and all. But from long-term perspective, like let's say 3 years, 4 years down the line, when this cyclical sector starts getting flat curve on growth side, how we should see this company as a standalone entity?
Are you talking about Scient or Scient DLM?
I am talking about the Scient, this current entity. Yeah.
Sorry?
Scient Limited.
Okay. Scient. Okay. So see, I think the idea that we had is that there are two elements to our business, right? There's the manufacturing element, and again, not to talk about that here, but that's poised for some good growth. It finds itself in a good spot. The market that it operates in is going through quite a transformation, and we want to make sure it has its capital structure and ability to grow. Now, coming to the Scient business, I think the key element, if you look at it there, is the way that we've classified the business as digital engineering and technology. Engineering is the core to what we do. That is what we do well, be it mechanical engineering, electronic, network design, etc. We do various elements of engineering. But the two elements that are converging with engineering are the digital. Again, you may have heard a lot of technology speak like an IoT or machine learning, etc. But really, there is a lot more there in terms of the application of technology and how it converges with engineering and the product. So that's the whole digital play. And then, of course, the putting all this together is the technology play, which is pointed solutions that we can take to the customer. I think Karthik briefly talked about. We won our first deal for a very large perception management system. This is taking all these skills and technologies that we have. On one side, there is the whole engineering piece that we brought to the table with mechanical, embedded software, etc. And on the other side, we brought the digital piece to the table with elements like artificial intelligence and connected devices and so on and so forth. So technology really brings the digital and engineering elements together. So net-net, you know, while we're in various industries and all of them go through their various trajectories, these industries are seeing a very significant convergence of digital, which is the technology piece, with engineering, which is the core of what they do. And we've been very strong at enabling the convergence between digital and engineering. So if I were to summarize it, I would say this convergence is what we're accelerating. And, you know, okay, pure engineering might go up and down, technology might go up, or digital technologies might go up and down. But this reality of convergence between digital and engineering is only going to accelerate, and that's what we do for our customers. And therefore, we're quite confident in the next 4 or 5 years, as more and more technology convergence happens into products and networks, we are very well positioned in that convergence.
Thank you, Mr. Kacharya. Requested to join the queue for any follow-up. Also, participants are requested to limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Vikral Gupta from ICICI Pru Life. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so I just have a couple of questions. The first one was on the wireless, or rather the wireline part of our connectivity portfolio. So as per my understanding, at least in US, it seems like the fiber rollout targets sort of peaked out in calendar 2022. Didn't seem to be getting revised downwards, at least by the major telcos over the last 3 months. So if you could provide some color whether my understanding is correct and what you are seeing on the ground. And secondly, what would be your geographic exposure within the wireline portfolio? Are you seeing the same tailwinds that you're seeing in US, maybe also in other geographies, your major geographies? Yeah, those were the two questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Gupta, for putting these questions. And to answer your first question, and what we have seen is the fiber penetration today in North America is about 50-55%. And what is happening with cable and media, and plus the wireless connectivity enabled through 5G, and all of them need fiber as a backhaul for the last mile. So that's going to be critical. And three, enabled by the rural connectivity initiative from the U.S. government, along with rural plus the urban low-income area, which is covered through the BEAD program. And these are government-funded programs, and these are going to be awarded to many companies beyond the large telcos, and based on the location that they operate in, and they go through a bidding process. And that is underway as we speak, and that's likely to drive this penetration of 50-55% to probably 65-70% over the next 2-3 years. And interestingly, we are also seeing similar initiatives across UK, Germany, and Netherlands, and even in European geography. And this is going to be a global initiative in terms of increasing the fiber rollout. And as you cannot really say whether it is wireline versus wireless, I think you need both, even for wireless to be successful. And with cable and media companies trying to ride on the streaming initiatives through wireline, I think it makes a lot more important across all the geographies. And everyone realizes on the critical infrastructure cannot function just through wireless. And they definitely want to depend on creating redundancies with wireline as well as wireless. So we do believe this would probably run for a few more years before it really runs out of steam. And also, there is a significant initiative around replacing copper with fiber optics. So that's something which is like a legacy modernization, which is happening even within the existing fiber, which has been done over the last 15 years, would need an upgrade. And that's another cycle that is happening across many of the geographies.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Sharma from MC Pro Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So can you please help us understand if you're seeing any deal closure delays in any of these segments?
Sorry, can you repeat your question? Deal closure delays? Yeah, no, I think that's going to be a start-stop, right? What we also looked at was out of our top 40 customers, there are 5 or 6 of them are going through some unique issues which are not necessarily industry specific, but it is customer specific. So some of them we do see delays,
and we started seeing better decision making maybe in the last 4 weeks or so as compared to what we have seen in the initial part of Q1. And again, this is too difficult to generalize across all segments. In some segments like what we have seen on aerospace, automotive, energy, I think they definitely have a compelling reasons for them to invest. And some of the discretionary areas where they can differ, and we have seen some delays and not necessarily significant delays.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference back to the management for their closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining the call this evening. It has been a very important quarter for Cyient. As we've talked about, we've been able to list the DLM business and now have a clear focus in both our businesses, on this side with digital engineering and technology, and on the other side with manufacturing. So we're very excited about where things stand. We had a good start to the quarter. Revenue moderated a bit, but that was expected. But we're still holding to our guidance from the revenue perspective and also the 50 bps or so increase in guidance from a margin perspective. We're very confident where things stand. Thank you for the support, and we'll again speak next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Cyient Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.